if you're in decent health and you aren't genetically challenged, you've probably got another 25 or 30 years of life. It may be that for 6 months or a year or 2 years, travel and golf or travel and tennis or travel and playing bridge will be a great decompression and a great getting yourself back to full energy. And after that, you need to create a life for yourself, or you will be bored to tears and go downhill, and you won't like the outcome.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today, my special guest is Andy Robin. And Andy is an author, a speaker, and a retirement revolutionist. It's a term I haven't heard before, and he's a consultant at the Tapas Life. Andy has done a bunch of things. He's got an MBA from Harvard University, has had a long and fruitful business career, including growing his dad's computer company in the 70s. He's held the CEO position of a successful tech startup for 6 years and was vice president of marketing for a $600 million company. He has served on the board of a New York hedge fund. And when he retired, he has become puzzled and he got to the what next, what now. So welcome to the show and we'll hear all about it. Welcome, Andy.
Well, thank you, Anne. I must say that, my wife and I, before we got married, both had good careers and we agreed that she would quit to have children and raise them because we both wanted an at-home parent. And the agreement was is that when they got far enough along, I would quit. She would go back to work and I would be an at-home parent. So I got the kids when they were 13 and 15, and most people are horrified. They say, boy, you got the short end of that stick. But the fact is they got a lot of love growing up, and so they were fine young people, and it was more like having young friends in the house. And yeah, they did their crazy teen stuff, but it was a lot of fun. And once they were off to college and I had completed that obligation, yeah, I was kind of lost. I didn't know what I would do with myself. I had by then become a little bored with business. And so I didn't think I wanted to go back to full-time work. And I just gradually started trying things. I thought for a bit that I might become a high school teacher and teach environmental studies to maybe spin up some young people to take better care of the planet. I didn't know what I'd do. Mm-hmm. I tried doing a little part-time consulting just to keep my business brain alive. And I gradually accreted things. I learned to become a coach, went to coaching school for about 300 hours. And about 4.5 years after our youngest went to college, I met a friend on the street and he said, hey, Andy, what are you up to? And I said, I'm living my tapas life. It's like Spanish food, lots of little dishes. It's no longer like a massive steak hanging over the sides of the plate. I have all these interesting things that comprise my life today. And, you know, I find it really interesting and fulfilling. And it, you know, ranges everything from, you know, very fun stuff, like some travel or collecting wines or just taking day trips around the San Francisco Bay Area and seeing museums and seeing the sights, to very meaningful things like doing life coaching and serving on the board of a nonprofit that helps local charities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, interesting and engaging things. I play classical piano an hour and a half a day. I learned to become a pretty good cook because my family was a little arch when I took over and I had to learn to cook. And so quite a few different things, and all in moderation so that they remain tapas in my life. And no one of them becomes a big new steak hanging over the edges of the plate.
Well, it sounds like right at the beginning you had your wires, your head wired the right way, because you were able to raise your children having one parent at home all the time. And I'm sure they got a great benefit out of that and appreciated that, because that's not the way modern society is now, is it?
It really isn't, but it was an important value discussion my wife and I had before we got married. We decided that's how we wanted to do it. Luckily, we both wanted to have our careers, and we both wanted to have to be at-home caregivers. And the fact is, there's nothing better you can do for kids. And so I sub-optimized my career in order to always be home for dinner and to not travel much. And when we reached what many would consider a pretty nice standard of living, we didn't let it grow any further from there. We just started to sock away everything we could. And when, as an executive, I got a bonus, it all went into deferred compensation. And when I got a raise, it all went into savings. Mm-hmm. And that way, when my wife went back to work, she wasn't under the gun. Unlike all of our friends, we didn't get a bigger house. We didn't get more expensive cars. We optimized on family and on the well-being of our children.
I'm sure they appreciate that. So you've been now giving talks, and you're also a coach to people in their later years, so 50s or 60s or 70s, what do you think is the biggest risk facing retirees today?
I'd say there are a few things that are pretty important. You know, young people don't appreciate their health because they have it. But as you get to be in your 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond, it's pretty easy to come to realize that without your health, you got nothing. And so the first thing I advocate is take care of your health. You know, eat decently. Don't eat junk food. Eat a decent balance of good protein, good carbs, and good fats. Eat in moderation. And do some exercise. You know, not so that you can go to the Olympics and be a weightlifter, but by working all parts of your body, your brain remains attached to all your nerves around your body. And then when you're older and you trip, you don't fall and break a hip and get pneumonia and die in the hospital. Instead, you catch yourself and you go on like a young person. Mm. And the object of keeping your health is quality of life, because life can be a gradual, unhappy decline, or it can be really good quality of life, a wonderful life, till finally the mechanism just gives out because of all age. And then hopefully you have a quick demise, right, and don't malinger. And the object of that is both the quality of life, and it's also that you don't want to hurry the day when your loved ones have to become your caregivers. Nobody wants to do that to the loved people around them. And so take care of your health. So that's one. Another super important one is social connection. You know, some people sort of leave their longtime career and then they don't know anybody, or they move to a different city and they don't know anybody. Mm. And when you don't know anybody, your quality of life goes down. It dwindles. And in fact, it's been shown scientifically that after a while, it impacts your immune system in a bad way. And so you got to stay connected. Join a group who you share an interest with. If you're religious, join a church group or a synagogue group or something like that. Do something. Be a volunteer. Go work at a soup kitchen and meet some folks there. Do something, anything to get out, even if you're an introvert like me, and make some social connections. And then eventually find something meaningful to do. Usually meaningful means doing something selfless for others. The problem is during your long career, you're doing something meaningful, probably earning on behalf of your family or earning on behalf of retirement. Or you like the products that your company provides, the services, and you feel good about that. And when you leave all of that, maybe you're a teacher, and now you don't have those kids to bring along. When you leave all of that, after a while, you're just a consumer of resources. And it's like, well, what's the point? Maybe you live near grandchildren and you get to contribute to family care. That's much more so the case in many parts of the world rather than some of the more, quote, developed countries. But that's a meaningful activity. Other meaningful activities tend to be working for charitable organizations or working for nonprofit organizations where you give of yourself to benefit somebody else. And then you actually have some purpose for continuing to be here. And so those are, I think, three of the biggest things that are most important that have to be tended to. I know that you and your podcast focus a lot on financial matters. And obviously, that's pretty important. If you don't have any resources, it's hard to get by. And yet, even if you do have resources, you need these other things or else you don't have much of a life.
Well, that's true. You can have money and it doesn't guarantee you're going to have a happy life, apparently.
Apparently. Like the Beatles said, right? Money can't buy you love.
Yeah. How would you recommend that we live a risk-free adventure? Because you're all about adding interest to your life.
Yes, yes. You know, if you think about it, Anne, when, you know, most of your life, you're trying to succeed at things and you don't want to fail. Whether it's getting through school or finding a partner or raising a kid or getting ahead in a job, getting more pay, prestige, respect, whatever it is, you're trying not to fail. But at this stage of life, with your long career complete, you don't want to fail at screwing up your finances and going broke. But other than that, wow, you can try crazy stuff and fail miserably at it, and there's just no cost. And so, you know, I'm all for, wow, did you always think about doing this, but thought you might be lousy at it? Great, try it. We're lousy at it? Oh, well. Try it a second time. Still lousy at it? Oh, well. Did you like it? Doesn't matter if you're lousy at it. And if it turns out, yeah, that wasn't actually something I liked. That was a fantasy. I thought I was going to like that, but I didn't. The opportunity is to mine it for learning. Okay, well, what did I find out about myself? What did I learn from that activity being a dud? Okay, what more might I want to try? But Anne, look around the world. There's so much going on. Mm. And we barely have time to, you know, get our toe in the water during our long career and raising families. And now there's a chance and there's time.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I've done that I hadn't been able to do for a long time was I went snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, wonderful.
You don't really get the opportunity to do it every day. So no. While I was out there on the yacht, I decided to give it a go.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did you tell the truth? Did you believe the colors down there?
Yeah, it was amazing. So full of activity, lots of fish. Yes. I was just pleased we didn't come across those great big ones, those great big fish with the big teeth. But other than that, it was a wonderful, it was beautiful water, so blue and clear and wonderful experience. So that's something I wouldn't do every day. Oh, actually, on a cruise, I went on a family cruise. It was like 4 generations cruise. I went with my mum and my sister and her family and grandchildren. And we went to Fiji. And
oh boy.
And they had an activity. You could choose your day-to-day activities. And they had an activity that you could go and walk underwater. So it was like you had the big diving helmet on your head, and you actually held onto a rope, and then you just walked out, and they put a breathing tube into your helmet. And we walked underwater with this diving helmet on. So that was something completely different.
Sounds like something out of Jules Verne, right?
So I assume you're talking about that sort of stuff and maybe some others, but they both involve water, but that was just a coincidence.
Absolutely. And when I look around at some of my peers, I had a boss for years in the tech industry who had been a Marine sergeant, now of fine memory. He could be a gruff guy or he could be a refined guy, but he was a powerful presence. And when he retired, he took up watercolor painting. Last thing I would have imagined. And he said he knew somebody who did that and they liked it and he figured he'd try it. And he was worried that he might do lousy at it, but it turned out he actually enjoyed it. And he didn't much care was it a great painting or not. He just loved it. A friend of my wife's always liked having dogs around. And after she retired, she always liked animals. So she decided that maybe she'd try riding horses. And she lives in Denver, Colorado, in the southwestern U.S. A lot of open space there. And she found a stable where she could ride some horses and take care of some horses. And she just loved it. And, you know, is she a big equestrian who's going to go compete in dressage? No. But does she love it? Yes.
Well, that's a wonderful few antidotes there. You talk about, I've seen you talk about the need to avoid the white rabbit in the snowstorm. So that was an interesting terminology. What do you mean by that?
You know how when you see a white rabbit in a snowstorm, it's just all snow white. You really don't see much of anything. And what you want to avoid is having your calendar look like that. So one of the first things to do after you leave your long career is to lay some structure into your life. It doesn't have to be much, but it has to be something.
Right.
So maybe you exercise a couple of times a week. Maybe you meet a friend for lunch once or twice a week. Maybe you do your email in the morning. Maybe you do the laundry once a week. In my case, it was put out the garbage on Thursday nights. And so put some things on your calendar, because otherwise what happens is it's too easy to fall into the, well, why bother getting out of my pajamas? Why bother joining the day? And pretty soon it gets kind of depressing.
Do you think there's that it is widespread, that scenario that you've just been talking about?
It unfortunately is. So I have a number of friends who had important careers and who subsequently retired. And I've watched several of them go on and have great lives. And I've unfortunately watched around a third of them who went on to have nothing. Mm-hmm. And are kind of moping around and always talk about how they need to find something, but never seem to take any steps. And it's depressing.
Mm.
These are capable people who had big careers. Mm. And now they're just what I call adrift or untethered. And so some structure helps with that, and some of the other things that we've been talking about help with that. And another one is just finding something you love. I mean, some people I speak to say, oh, it's been so long since I did anything I loved. I don't even remember what that is. Well, there must be something.
Well, you've got plenty of time now, because I assume that a lot, if they had busy lives and busy careers, they were busy and they didn't have time to explore other avenues.
Exactly. And now they do, but you actually have to take steps. You actually have to, you know, it's the old saying that the journey of 1,000 kilometers starts with the first step, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but you have to take a step. You can't sit around and talk yourself out of it. So I hear some people who say, well, I could try this, but, you know, that probably wouldn't work for these 5 reasons.
Wow.
It's like, go do it.
Yeah, it sounds like they're shooting themselves in the foot before they even try.
That's it. You know, it's like Nike says, just do it. And then you'll know.
So you've written this book, Tapper's Life, and how do people get a find the book, or how do they get in touch with you or find out more about you if they're interested in hearing you or getting some help from you?
Thank you for asking, Anne. I wrote the book as part of my Meaningful Tapa, along with the work I do for nonprofits and did for years for a religious organization. I'm just trying to be helpful to others. I don't make any money off of it. In fact, it's been quite a financial sink getting editors and people to design covers and stuff like that. Just trying to help one person at a time find a fulfilling life after their long career. You can learn more about me and the book at tapaslife.com. Or if you just want to jump in, then go to Amazon. I don't know if this is true in Australia as well, but I suspect it may be. And look up Tapas Life under books, or Tapas Life Andy Robin, like Batman and Robin, or like the bird. And there it is. Yeah, it's a whopping 10 US or 8 for the Kindle.
So in summary, what message would you like to leave the listener with about some hope at the end of the long working tunnel? What are some steps people can do, can take?
If you're in decent health and you aren't genetically challenged, you've probably got another 25 or 30 years of life. It may be that for 6 months or a year or 2 years, travel and golf, or travel and tennis, or travel and playing bridge will be a great decompression and a great getting yourself back to full energy. And after that, you need to create a life for yourself, or you will be bored to tears and go downhill and you won't like the outcome. So whether you're the kind of person who likes to go find a new career, a next act, great, do that. if you're the kind of person who genuinely can sit around and watch the grass grow and be happy, do that. If you're the kind of person for whom family is everything and you don't need anything else, do that. And yet, consider, for the first time in the history of humanity, you have these bonus years that you can create a life with. And an option is to create a tapas life. Collect a variety of interesting things. And when one runs its course, replace it with another. Or if you turned out not to like one, get another one. Or if you've got some capacity, lay in another one. Or if you're overbooked, shoot one. But enjoy that flexibility. Enjoy all the world has to offer. Grab it with both hands and do the carpe diem thing.
Thank you. It's been most interesting hearing your take on the next act, the what are we going to get up to? And there is plenty. You just have to be prepared to put a bit of time in there and start looking for it. It sounds like you've written a wonderful book, The Tapas Life. You've been listening to Annie Nelson on the Retire While, Retire Happy podcast. And the special guest today has been Andy Robin. Thank you.
Thanks so much for including me, Annie.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.